the author of the Gospel of Matthew, wrote his Gospel in a way that was reader-friendly to his first listeners. In a way it engaged with their culture and their preconceived ideas about God. Because his first listeners were Jews who converted to Christendom. And because they were Jews, he took in consideration their sentiments. They could not misuse the name of the Lord. So Matthew restrained himself from doing that. And to them it was very important to keep the commandments of the law. Tradition was all that mattered. And in a way, when Matthew talked about Jesus, Jesus came to the core of their problem. Jesus didn't worry about tradition. To Jesus, the heart of people matters. No matter who you are, when you come to Jesus, if you're a Jew or not a Jew, you are welcome. And he tells the gospel story in such a new, refreshing way that I think must have shocked them to their core to realize what Jesus really meant. And our reading is no exception. Jesus did the unthinkable thing to go to Gentile territory, unholy land, to the port cities of Tyre and Sidon. Today they will be part of Lebanon and Syria. The Jews did not respect the Gentiles. The Gentiles were non-people in their eyes. In fact, they called them dogs, and they regarded them as people who is not welcome in the eyes of God. But now Jesus finds himself on unholy, unclean soil, talking to a Gentile woman. In their eyes, it was a shameful thing to do, but Jesus doesn't care. And to make matters even more complicated, this woman was a Canaanite. And the Canaanites were the most despicable, morally despised people. They were the enemy of Israel in the Old Testament. And I can just imagine the Jews that must have listened to this reading the first time. I guess they were really on edge. And then Jesus goes one step further. He uses an old Jewish conversion formula to prove a new point. In those days, only women could become Jews from the time of Ruth. But this formula was very strict. If a Gentile woman wants to convert to Judaism, she must go to the priest 3 times, okay, to test her. And the priest must insult her 3 times. The priest must call her names. The priest must be so rude to them. But if they return after the 3rd time, if they respond the 3rd time positive, then they were allowed to become Jews. And then the priest would say, tradition has prevailed. You are now allowed into the Jewish ways. In this case, Jesus follows the same pattern, the same formula, with one change. He also treats her very rude by ignoring her at first. And then he says to her, but I am only sent to the Jews. Using the Jewish way of excluding Gentiles. And then he says, in fact, it's not right to give the children's bread, meaning the children of Israel, to the dogs. She And everyone around her in the Gentile territory knew that Jesus was referring to the practice where indeed Jews called the Gentiles dogs. But this woman remained faithful. And after the third time, Jesus says, not tradition, no, not the law of Moses. Your faith, woman, made you come back time after time. And because of your faith, your daughter will be healed. And from that exact moment, her daughter was indeed healed. The message? Faith. All we need is faith. All we need is to believe that we can go to Jesus. Faith can move mountains. Faith in God can make the impossible possible. Amen. The text verse for the sermon, I must say, the translation cannot really reveal the raw emotions when you read the Greek text when Jesus says this. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I do not think we can look at this text and not be touched in a way by the raw emotions visible between the lines. I mean, here is a woman, a Gentile, despicable woman in the eyes of the Jews, who is desperately seeking help for her daughter who is seriously ill. It's a well-known fact that the people of the first century Mediterranean world thought of illness in terms of demon possession. These were usually persons afflicted with severe diseases, either bodily or mentally, such as blindness, deafness, loss of speech, epilepsy, insanity, whose bodies, in the opinion of the Jews, demons had entered and held possession of them. And they thought of themselves as, this cannot come from the Almighty God, so it must be a demon. But this reading really touched also the very inside of my own soul. Many of us experience the same feeling when our children is unwell. And I, for one, did not really understand what it feels like when your children are seriously ill. But as you all know, after it happened to us, and we, Neon, was seriously ill just after his birth, Nanda and I really understood what it means to come to Jesus. Because you have no other way. You just hope and you trust. And I can just imagine in our reading this woman's sorrow and need to find a cure for her daughter's illness. And then she heard of Jesus. And this woman knew that he's the only one who can help her. And therefore she confesses that he's the Lord. He's the expected Messiah. He's really the only one who can help her with her daughter. But then Jesus acted like a typical Jewish priest, rejecting her claims and ignoring her true needs. But because she has faith in the Lord Jesus, she continues to beg for mercy. Because to her, he was the only one who spoke to her, who helped her, and therefore she pressed on despite the insults. Most probably, She must have heard of the strict rules of becoming a Jew. But in this case, she doesn't care about tradition or the laws. She only cared about Jesus. She realized that here is a man who truly knows her heart, who really understands her need. And even the fact that he said she's not one of the lost sheep of Israel, that could not deter her. Not even the reference to her as a dog could really keep her away from speaking and begging to Jesus. And then the miracle happens. Jesus looked her in the eyes and said, "Your faith has saved you." And from that moment, her daughter was healed. And you know, sometimes we want big miracles to happen to us, to convince us of our faith in the Lord Jesus or His presence among us. And this week, the Holiday Club revisited the salvation story of the Israelites in Egypt. They heard and saw the big miracle that happened when God divided the sea so that they could walk on dry land to the promised land. But you know, there are many more ordinary miracles that happen every day in us, around us, among us. And a miracle often happens when we realize that God is present. When He changes situations for the better. When we realize, but that's not what I asked for. But it really, in the end, worked out so well. A miracle happens when the unexpected occurs in our lives. And we are left with only one explanation. It must have been God. And it happens all the time when we ask God to help us, when we seriously go on our knees and we urge and beg Him to be with us. And usually, all the time, God responds. And sometimes we do not see it that way. Awful things happen to us, but we do not see the big picture. Yesterday, I spoke to people who were very disappointed in society because someone broke into their car and stole precious things from them. And they could only see this bad situation, but I could look from the side and I said to them, "But you must be thankful because a miracle happened." And they couldn't understand what I meant. And then I said, "God made sure you were not in the car. You still have a car." And no one was hurt. A miracle indeed. But in order for God's miracles to happen, we need faith. Faith that there is no other hope than the hope of the everlasting kingdom of God. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that He will listen to us, that we can go to Him, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, if we are poor or rich, popular or not popular, that He will look us into the eyes. Faith that can move mountains. Faith in the one God that can make the impossible possible. Faith that God loves us just as we are. There are so many reasons why this woman was not acceptable according to the Jews. She was a Canaanite. She was unclean and unholy. She was not a Jew, meaning she was not part of God's covenant. She was in contact with illness, or in their terms, evil spirits. And she was not residing in the Holy Land. But Jesus didn't care. He loved her. He had mercy on her. And Jesus saw further than any other human eyes could ever do. He saw her heart. He saw her intentions. He knew she came to him because she had faith. And this is the power of God's love. He loves us just as we are. And if we need to change, He will do that through His Holy Spirit. He will change our lives to the better. All we need is to believe and to hold on to His hand. If we believe in Him, believe in His hope and love, then we will too see the bigger picture. Then we too can reach out to the strangers, the marginalized, the people that suffer, and all the people whom we despise. May we never ever be discouraged to go to the Lord Jesus when we need Him. May we never ever think of ourselves as unworthy in His eyes just because other people have labeled us that way. And may God help you and me to do what a wee girl once did. She walked with her mother in the streets, and she saw a beggar in rags, smelly, sitting on the sidewalk. And then she stopped, and she went over, and she gave the stranger a big hug. Her mother was so shocked and said to her, "Why on earth did you do that?" This wee lass responded, "If Jesus loves him, so do I." May that be our answer to every human being we meet. Amen.